Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
This is Radio Influence. The future is now.
Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crochelle. Get in on the talent grid and text Crush at 101260 with your questions, comments, or smart-ass remarks.
Hi, this is Carlos Delgado.
This is Roy Halladay.
Hey, this is Chris Woodward.
This is David Gauthier.
And this is Jamie
Soleil,
and you're listening to the Crush Sports Performance Show.
And welcome to Crush Performance. I am Jeff Crochelle. The con man is here keeping us on track, and we're your weekly source for performance information. If you want to get in touch with us, do so. Our website is crushperformance.com. Follow us on Twitter at Jeff Crush. And if you're on Facebook, go to our page, Crush Performance, or you can join our performance group called The Talent Grid. So before we get going, I want to give a big shout out to everybody down at Barber Ha. Straight shaves, clean cuts. They're at 111 82nd Ave in Edmonton. They did a house call for my dad over at the Misericordia Hospital. He's been there for the last few weeks fighting the good fight. And one of the things on his bucket list was a straight shave. And Sean and Mark were kind enough to step out, bring the hot towels and the shaving cream and the lotion brush. It was just fantastic. I want to thank the guys over at Barber Ha for making that happen. Today, we are talking athlete performance. And as the hockey season comes to an end, what should you be thinking about for your off-season program? Depending what level of the game you're at, you should be thinking about different things. For the developmental young athlete, really you should be thinking about maybe a week camp here or a weekend camp there, but playing multiple sports. Specialization in sport has really brought down the ceiling of potential for individual athletes. And it's also caused an epidemic of overuse injuries. And I think it lends a big hand in the highest dropout rates we've ever seen in young athletes aged 13 and 14 years of age. So playing multiple sports not only keeps athletes involved in sports, it's also better for top-end performance. And that's really, really important. So what you decide to do this offseason could really, really determine your sporting outcome way down the road. So we'll talk with Barry Budd about what you should be thinking about and the type of things he's doing with his athletes. They work with athletes from every level of the game right up to the pro guys. They have one player who just finished his 1,000th game in the NHL this year, so it's going to be a fantastic conversation. And when we look at some of the organizations around the world, Hockey Canada, and of course the greatest number of professional hockey players come from the northern country of Canada, Hockey Canada has come out with an interesting list, the top six sports for the hockey player in their offseason. And their list looks like this: lacrosse, soccer, baseball, team handball, racket sports, and gymnastics. For my hockey players, I also add in there mountain biking. Almost every single one of my hockey players, we get either on a road bike, but I like the mountain biking because of the challenges it provides and also the conditioning, the non-impact conditioning that it can provide as well. Great off-season sports. But the fact that sporting organizations like Hockey Canada are coming out with these lists of off-season sports for hockey players, I think it really sheds a light on how much we understand now we need to get out and play other sports. So we'll look forward to our conversation with Barry coming up in the next segment. And then later in the show, as the hockey season comes to an end, the baseball season's about to kick off. And as the snow melts in the northern regions, we need to make sure you're getting ready for the season in the right way. We will be speaking with the Red Sox pitching development analyst Dave Bush. Dave had a great professional career, started with the Blue Jays, played with the Brewers, the Rangers, the Phillies, also played overseas with the Korean Professional League. But Dave has a really good insight into the development of players and what we should be thinking about as we get ready for the baseball season. Now, Baseball USA and Major League Baseball teamed up to put together the Pitch Smart program. And the Pitch Smart program looks at all the issues surrounding the injuries and the developmental process for young baseball players. And one of the things they have done, much like Hockey Canada, is they've come up with a list of great sports for baseball players to play in their offseason. So again, another example of the way our approach to developing athletes is slowly changing. We have to get away from this early specialization because I promise you, it's lowering the ceiling of development, but it's also at the root of the injuries and the dropout rates we're seeing at the developmental level. So I'm looking forward to the conversation later in the show with Dave Bush. So let's get to it. Right after this break, we'll be joined by Barry Butt, the founder of Premier Strength, to talk about the hockey offseason. And later in the show, we look at getting ready for the baseball season with the Red Sox pitching development analyst, Dave Bush, right here on Crush Performance. Stick around.
Radio Influence brings you the best in digital media broadcasting. When it comes to sports, we've got experts like national sports radio host Rich Herrera, the fabulous Sports Babe, and former Major League Baseball manager Kevin Kennedy. Want a good laugh? Then go on the beach with Pants and Roller Girl, or just LOL with Nancy Alexander. And when it comes to real life, Dangerous Conversation with Scott Ledger and Beyond the Badge with Vincent Hill will make you think. When it comes to what you want, Radio Influence has you covered. Find our programming on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.
Find out what it takes to be a top performer. Get the Crush blog, podcast, and newsletter at CrushPerformance.com. Now, back to the show.
And welcome back to Crush Performance. I am Jeff Groeschel. The Con Man is here keeping us on track. Listen, if you want to get in touch with us, do so. CrushPerformance.com. Reach out to us there. Follow us on Twitter at Jeff Crush. And if you're on Facebook, go to our group. It's called The Talent Grid. We have our page, Crush Performance, of course. But if you want to get in the conversation, ask questions, or if you have comments or smart remarks, The Talent Grid is the place to be. A great community of high performance right there. Today, we are talking about athlete readiness, athlete preparation, and as hockey heads into the off season, what should you be thinking about? And as baseball gets ready for the season, what do you need to do to get ready? Later in the show, we'll be talking with Dave Bush, the Red Sox pitching development analyst. We'll talk to him about getting ready for your baseball season because it is a process. But for hockey players, heading into their off season, there's some things you really need to think about. The game has changed quite a bit, which changes how we address our players, but also the focus on single sport athletes has really, really impacted not just development, but it's also impacted dropout rates, injury rates, and lack of athleticism. So now getting into a good off-season program has become more and more important for those young players who are focused on one single sport. We always recommend multiple sports up to those critical ages where you have to make a decision, which is typically 14, 15, and 16 years of age. There's individual variables there, of course, but we like to see multiple sports up to those age groups for certain. And once you get into your offseason for your hockey players, what should you be thinking about? Well, we're joined right now by the founder of Premier Strength, Barry Butt. Barry, thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Well, listen, the NHL hockey season is coming to an end, and the minor hockey season is heading into the offseason here. And it's an all-important time for athletes, parents, coaches, and even teams to start thinking about offseason preparation and what it means for hockey players. Now, you guys at Premier Strength have been running for quite a few years, and you've had some great players come through your organization there. What are some of the things you've noticed over the years, you know, through your experiences? Have you seen any changes in trends or philosophies in terms of off-season preparation for hockey players?
Well, drastic changes, but there's definitely been changes. I think the biggest thing that you start to notice now is players aren't, I mean, they're still big, they're still strong, but they need to be very mobile, they need to be very quick, they need to be able to move. Gone are the days of the big player that could just hold on to somebody and, you know, clutch and grab and slow them down just basically by being bigger and stronger. Rule changes have kind of moved the game away from that and made it a much more athletic type of player that needs to play the game now. If you can't move, you don't have mobility, speed, athleticism, you can't get around the ice anymore and you're not going to be able to play.
Yeah, Barry, over Premier Strength there, you guys have one of the what I believe is one of the top off-season conditioning programs in the industry. And, you know, you've had some great players come through your program. Maybe tell us a bit about your program and how you started off.
Well, I started about 20 years ago now. It started just, you know, training a few hockey players, very small, four or five guys. A couple of guys had some success, and we just grew from there. Now we have you have a number of pro players, lots of junior players, right down to the grassroots of, you know, bantam midget age players starting to train with us. So, you know, it's been successful, and it's growing over the years, and we've got a great facility, a big facility, which is absolutely perfect for training our athletes. We've got a great turf area where we can do all our speed and agility work, as I just alluded to, has become a huge part of the game now. And, being very athletic and being able to move means, well, we have to start doing a lot more athletic stuff with our players, versus just, like I said before, making them stronger or making them bigger. Now they need to be able to move, and we've got a facility where we can do that. We can cater to anything our athlete needs. Our program has a huge base of our huge background in sprinting and sprint training. Along with it, I've been mentored by, one of the greatest sprint coaches around, in Quinn Sekulich, who's our strength and speed coach for our national bobsled team. So, we've put this program together to help build the speed of the athletes. And, with hockey, we've got a nice area where we can do a lot of lateral movement, agility type work with our athletes as well.
Yeah, we're talking with Barry Butt, the founder of Premier Strength in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, one of the premier off-season conditioning programs for hockey players in North America. Barry, interesting. You mentioned earlier the trends that we see in the game. The game has changed for sure. But on the developmental side, we've also seen some changes that are very concerning. And that's this whole idea of specialization. Now, you work with fairly dedicated elite older players who are sort of going the hockey avenue, which is great. But I think one of the things that you talk about here is really important for people to realize. If you are specializing in a sport, especially early, before the age of 13, 14, this idea of movement and agility inside the conditioning program becomes even more important, because by not playing other sports, you lose that, I guess, physical education that you would get, that other sports provide in terms of demands. You need to work that into a program, and that's something you guys do very well there.
Oh, we have to. You're 100% right. I mean, physical literacy is huge, and we've seen it over the years that if a hockey player isn't an athlete first and doesn't have that athletic ability, he might get through minor hockey still being really good. He might even get through junior hockey being really good. But when he gets to the pro level, that athleticism is going to catch up to him. Quite often it catches up to them well before that. But, if they're fortunate enough to be a gifted enough hockey player, they might get away with it a little bit longer, but eventually it catches up. And that's what happens with specializing very early. You lose a lot of physical literacy. You lose athleticism. You lose the ability, or it's not that you lose it. You never learn the ability,
right,
to move laterally, to run, to jump, to throw, to do all these things, and even to have different cognitive skills and different thought processes, different abilities to read and react that you learn from these different sports. Even, you talked about baseball. I mean, I love baseball. My son plays baseball. And I've seen some of the cognitive things and the thought processes in that transfer over to on ice. We actually have a group of our pro athletes and our older junior guys that will play baseball in our facility on a daily basis. Almost as their cool down, they just hit ground balls to each other or throw the ball around. That's their cool down, playing another sport and doing other things. Now, I've been fortunate that I've had a group of athletes who did grow up as athletes, and they're in the facility doing this stuff, and the younger athletes are seeing this, and it's becoming, a bit of a culture in our facility. But back to what you said about having to put some of this stuff into your program, you're 100% right. I mean, I never used to start working with athletes or with hockey players until they were 15, 16 years old, because they were always busy playing other sports. Well, the trend over the years has been that they start to specialize earlier. They start to call guys like me earlier and want to start training earlier. My first response to them is, I'd rather see you go play another sport. But the reality of it is they're not going to do that. They're going to go somewhere and train. So we've developed what we call our youth development program. And, I'm going to kind of let the cat out of the bag here on the radio, but, we talk about it being a hockey specific training program. It's not. We bring these guys in and we teach them to move. And we have actually incorporated other games with them. We've played, you know, as simple as soccer, or we've thrown the football around, or we've done different types of, even fielding ground balls or fielding tennis balls like a baseball player would, just to teach them to move different ways. A lot of parents who are, you know, diehard with hockey think, oh, my kid's in a hockey-specific training program. Well, you know, tell you the truth, he's not. He's in an athlete development program. We're trying to make them better athletes. We're not trying to make them better hockey players. Hockey itself makes them better hockey players. That's the bottom line. Now, do we do some very specific stuff with hockey players that we might not do with other athletes? Absolutely, we do as they get older. But when they're 11, 12, 13, 14, even 15, 16 years old, it is teaching them to be better athletes and building the toolbox.
Oh, Barry, you are singing to the choir, my good man. Just singing to the choir. We're talking with Barry Butt, the founder of Premier Strength in Edmonton, Alberta. Well, it's a very important conversation, and I'm glad you brought all that up, because this is something that every parent, coach, organizational president in terms of the development levels needs to start thinking about, because it's so important. I think, you know, if we look at sort of the dropout rates that we're seeing, the burnout rates that we're seeing because of specialization, and not just that, but really the injury rates are concerning now, not just in hockey, but every sport as we Absolutely. Start specializing. And I'm going to watch with interest, you know, over the next few years as we start to hopefully make a shift away, Barry, from this idea of specialization and cramming into one sport and getting a little more multi-sport with programs like you guys have there at Premier Strength.
Well, I hope it happens, Jeff, but I'm not holding my breath. It's trending in the wrong direction in my mind, but on one hand, it's actually good for my business. On the other hand, I don't like to see it, because now what ends up happening, I find, is unless we can really drive criticism within our program, which we can try to do, but we still can't teach those cognitive skills and that read and react stuff you get from playing sport, like even basketball or volleyball or something like that. If you're a hockey player, you learn those things by playing those games. We can't do that. We can't replicate that stuff in a gym. We can replicate some of the movement, but not thinking. That's the part that these athletes are missing.
Right, and I think you're right. And the other thing that people need to realize is there's, through the developmental ages, there are windows of opportunity, very specific windows of opportunity, that if you miss them, you can't get them back. I mean, you could still develop, but you miss these critical windows in terms of like skill development or movement acquisition. And once those ships leave the port, they are gone and there's no getting them back. So it's really important to understand that as well through the developmental levels, for certain.
Absolutely. And so what I would like to see hockey teams do, for example, is they do a dry land component and they start to build these dry land components, and it ends up being just a workout. What would be very cool to see happen is, hey, maybe instead of a dry land component, we do a multi-sport component with our teams. So we practice 2 days a week and we have a day where we go to a facility and we play soccer. Let the kids just play soccer against each other. We play basketball. We play whatever, you name it, volleyball. We play different sports, and maybe you just bring in a local coach from the community, or maybe there's a parent on the team that understands those games and can just give them some basic fundamentals and then just go play. Now they're developing some athleticism and developing some skills that, like you said, that they may be missing those opportunities if they're not being exposed to those other sports. Like, to me, that would be the coolest dry land versus just going to a gym.
Yeah, and I agree. How much fun would that be as a young athlete, right? Getting in there and, the competition, the playing with your buddies, but also the teamwork skills you learn, that would transfer directly into the game. So I like that idea a lot, and we've had this conversation before. I love it.
Yeah, it would be a great idea.
Yeah, you mentioned a very, very important word in that last statement that you made, and that's the word play. It's something I think that we're losing sight of, Barry. What do you think?
Oh, I agree 100%. I mean, we used to, play road hockey even hockey itself outside of the structured environment has started to go away. You don't see kids on the street playing road hockey games very often anymore. You don't. I mean, yes, they go to the outdoor rinks and they do that type of stuff a little bit, but still not as much as I know that we did growing up. Just going to the local park and playing pickup basketball and things like that. You don't see that anymore. You don't see pickup football games, and even the play at school at recess has deteriorated. There's shorter periods of time. They don't have enough time to get organized and get a game going on their own. And even just that, the ability to teach leadership skills of two or three guys going out and saying, "Hey guys, let's get together and play soccer." It doesn't happen that much anymore, and it's kind of sad.
Yeah, it is kind of sad. It's pretty tough to do when you have a 4:30 a.m. or 5 a.m. Practice down at the local rink when you're 8, 9, 10 years old, though, right? You know what I'm saying?
Yep, I agree.
Unfortunately, right? Mm-hmm. So it's an interesting trend. We're talking with Barry Butt, the founder of Premier Strength, one of the leading athlete development programs here in North America for hockey players. Well, Barry, we are heading into the hockey season or a hockey off season as the summer approaches here. And I think this is a great conversation for athletes, parents, and coaches to hear. So I appreciate that. But when we're talking about our hockey players who are really trying to delve into the game and carve out an opportunity for themselves, the older guys who might be looking at, you know, junior careers or college scholarships or even a shot at the pros, the game changes a little bit there. And you guys do a fantastic job, I know, putting those programs together. That's where things get really, really fun for the high performance guys, and you know, coordinating the off ice training with the needs and requirements of on ice and the on ice feedback from scouts and coaches, that's a real fun part of the game, though, isn't it?
Oh, it's a blast. I mean, that's what I live for, is getting that feedback and getting an athlete coming in and having a really good understanding of where they need to be next season and doing the things to get them there. And then even ourselves, us giving them feedback too, when we do some of our assessments and our fitness testing and so forth, and coming back and saying, "Look, you're maybe not as slow as you think you are. We can develop a few things here. Maybe now it's the game itself that you need to improve on, because the physical tools are pretty good. But for us, usually it's, okay, we need you to make them bigger. We need you to make them stronger. We need you to make them faster, more agile, more mobile, help prevent injuries." And with the older athletes, that is the, you know, that's what it's all about. That's where it's fun. And at that age too, you can see change and you can see growth. And that growth is a direct result of what you're doing with them in the training program. Whereas sometimes with the younger athletes, you know, they might just change physically, and it really doesn't have a lot to do with your program just because they're still maturing. But with the older athletes, yeah, it's what it's all about, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. And it's also a lot of fun projecting 2 or 3 years out, maybe 5 years out, and developing an athlete in the foundation now for things that would never happen 3 or 4 years from now unless certain things are addressed. And that's sort of that long-term planning that's all important now in the high-performance level of sport.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, every time I get a new athlete come in to train with me, I would talk about what he needs to accomplish now and what we're going to be able to do for him in this offseason. But I always relate it back to wait till next year and you see how we build next year and we build the year after it. You know, some athletes see that and they can see the big picture and they get it. Others, they might be a little almost put off by that and think, "Well, I want it now. What do you do for me now?" And I'm very realistic. I know what I can accomplish with you now, but I also know that in 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, if you stick with the plan and stick with the program, it's going to be incredible where you're going to get to. And I wouldn't be able to say that with confidence if I hadn't done it a number of times with a number of athletes. You know, we just had a guy play his 1,000th NHL game this year, and he's trained with me every single summer of his entire career. That doesn't happen by accident. That happens by him making the commitment and understanding the big picture and seeing the progress over the years.
Yeah, no, there's not a lot of luck involved at the highest levels anymore, Barry, for sure. It's planned, it's deliberate, and very, very well calculated.
No, you're absolutely right. And if you don't have a plan, and understand your athlete and understand what they need and be willing to adapt, you're just not going to have the success. You're going to run into a plateau eventually, and you're not going to have the success that you're hoping for.
Yeah, it certainly is. It's a process. Well, Barry, listen, man, we really appreciate your time today. We know you're getting hyped up for your off-season programs here for your hockey players. Hey, if people want more information on you and Premier Strength, how can they do it? How can they get some more information?
like premierstrength.com. Call me at 780-919-7414 or email me at barry@premierstrength.com.
Great, Barry. Hey, listen, I really appreciate it. Fantastic conversation here today.
Thanks, Jeff. You're welcome. Anytime.
There you go. Fantastic conversation with Barry Butt, the founder of Premier Strength. Barry's been around for a long time, worked with a lot of players at every level and in multiple sports as well. So some sage advice there. Just a fantastic conversation. And honestly, some serious food for thought for any athlete, parent, or coach out there, because this isn't just about hockey. This conversation could have been about any sport where athletes are trying to get better. So just some fantastic conversation. Well, that's the hockey talk as hockey players get ready for their offseason. Baseball is heading into their season, and it's as important to prepare properly before competing, especially in the game of baseball where the throwing motion is just so dangerous and potentially harmful, especially for pitchers where the stress is so high and the repetition can really, really take its toll. So after the break, we are going to talk with the Boston Red Sox pitching development analyst Dave Bush. Dave has had a great major league career, started off with the Blue Jays, played for the Brewers, the Rangers, also played in the Korean Professional League. I've worked with Dave for the last few years in Major League Baseball game development internationally, and he is one smart hombre when it comes to pitching, player development, and also analyzing and processing procedures for young athletes to get better. He's now involved with the Boston Red Sox, and we're going to talk to him about what we should be thinking about as we head into the baseball season right after this on Crush Performance. Stick around. It's going to be a fantastic conversation. Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. Each week, we look at the latest trends and research coming out of the performance world to keep you on the cutting edge and to find out what it takes to achieve human maximum performance. And athletes, now you can do just that as Crush Performance presents the Sport Matrix, the program for top performance in sport. For more information, go to crushperformance.com and join us Wednesday evenings at 7, Saturdays at 4. We're here to help you think like an athlete.
This is Crush Performance. If you have questions, comments, or smart remarks, write to us at crushperformance.com.
And welcome back to Crush Performance. Do it. Go to our website, crushperformance.com. Reach out to us with questions, comments, smart remarks. You can follow us on Twitter at Jeff Crush. And if you are on Facebook, you can go to our page, Crush Performance, or join our group. It's called The Talent Grid. Apply there. We'll let you in. We're just talking performance. That's what we do. And today's no exception. Just got off a great conversation with Barry Butt, the founder of Premier Strength, talking about the hockey offseason and what we need to start thinking about in terms of player development at the younger levels as well as the professional levels. And there's a lot to be learned there. A fantastic conversation. But as hockey heads into the offseason, baseball's getting ready for their season, and preparing for your baseball season is a bit of a process. There's really no sport like baseball. If you look at the organizations, most teams have 5 or 6 developmental levels that players work their way through before they get to the major leagues, because it takes time. The average age of a player breaking into Major League Baseball is right around 23 years of age. And yet we're in such a rush to throw hard and be a complete player. You know, most players have 5, 6, up to 10 years to really master the art. And baseball is such a skilled sport, it takes that long to develop quality players. If you try to rush the process, which is what's happening right now, I think it has a lot to do with the injury rates that we're seeing in baseball. And it's a very big concern. If you just look at the throwing motion in baseball, it might be one of the most dangerous movements in all of sports, simply because of the stress it creates when you throw that ball. And for pitchers, the repetition plays a really big role in the damage that's being done. If it's not managed properly and progressively, not just over the course of a time period, but over the course of a career, you're going to get injured. And I think that has a lot to do with the injury rates we're seeing in baseball right now, especially at the younger levels. There are more Tommy Johns and shoulder surgeries going on in the developmental levels of baseball than there has ever been before in the history of the game. And a lot of this has to do with the fact that we're trying to rush the process of development and we're specializing earlier and earlier in the developmental process. The fact that baseball players aren't taking a break from throwing like they used to, I think, is also lending a hand. So let's talk about preparing for this baseball season. We're joined right now by the Red Sox pitching development analyst, Dave Bush. Dave, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, happy to be on.
Dave, it's been a real pleasure for me working with you over the last few years through Major League Baseball and the game development program around the world. And it's really great to see through the WBC, the World Baseball Classic, how global the game really has become. And I think the tournament is a true testament to the talent that's being developed all over the world right now. I really enjoy the tournament. I thought it was great.
It really is. I mean, this is my first chance to coach in the actual WBC. I also coached in one of the qualifiers about a year ago, and both times it was an awesome experience. Being able to be with guys who are playing for their country and kind of understanding the emotion that goes into it and the investment they have. And then really just going to places where baseball is not as big a deal as it is in the U.S. and understanding, you know, how badly they want to play and how much desire they have. It's been really cool.
So this WBC, you are with Team China. Let's talk about that experience. What a spectacular experience that must be. I had a chance to work with Team China back in just before the first World Baseball Classic and the second World Baseball Classic, and it's a developing game there. What was the experience like for you?
It's really different. I've been to China a handful of times and worked with some of these players as well as some younger ones. There's all kinds of issues. There's obviously communication issues. There's experience issues. You know, baseball's not on TV in China, so they don't even have the chance to watch it and kind of emulate who they see on TV. But one of the things I found is that for the guys who do want to play, they really want to play because it's not easy for them to get involved in baseball. And they will do anything I ask them to do. I mean, absolutely anything. And so they're more than willing to listen, to learn, to work hard, to do all that stuff. And so it's very rewarding as a coach because I know that, you know, that everything I say and everything I want them to do, they're trying really hard to do their best with it.
Yeah, fantastic. So let me ask you this. You're in the middle of spring training with the Red Sox. You have to take a hiatus to go to China and overseas to play in the Japanese pool for the World Baseball Classic, and then you're back straight to spring training. How's the jet lag going there, Dave?
Well, the first couple of days back were tough. I came back, landed about midnight one night, and was back to work 6 hours later. But that's the nature of baseball, man. I know that's how it works. The Red Sox were nice enough to let me be gone for almost 3 weeks to go over to Japan to do this tournament. And so I felt like it was up to me to get back here and get back to work as soon as possible. But it was totally worth it. I mean, my family came out with me to Japan, and we got to experience all of it, you know, the baseball and the culture and everything else. And it was really, really awesome.
Yeah, fantastic. We're talking with Dave Bush, the Red Sox pitching development analyst. Hey, Dave, let me ask you this. Now, listen, the World Baseball Classic, we just saw a fantastic final. Puerto Rico undefeated in the tournament, goes up against the U.S., who threw down the gauntlet before the tournament even started and said they are going for the title. And they achieved that. Going into the final, Puerto Rico's undefeated. The U.S. had a couple losses. Stroman's on the mound, and the U.S. wins 8-0. I think the thing that really caught me after the fact was the comments from the players, Dave. Now, these are Major League Baseball players, and some of them are amateur players, but to the man, everybody has either said that they had the most fun of their life or it was the best baseball experience of their lives. That's a pretty powerful thing coming from these high-level players.
I've been fortunate enough to play in the big leagues, and you know, I have that baseball background, but then when I've been involved in the WBC, it's totally different. There's an emotional investment. There's an excitement. Kind of the compressed nature of the tournament is just so much different, and I've absolutely loved it when I've been involved in it. So I'm glad to hear that the players liked it because it's such a cool tournament, and I really hope it keeps gaining momentum. And I think guys who are doing it are realizing that there's just a different aspect of baseball than what we're used to, and it can be a really good experience and a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's great. And, you know, to see the talent, Dave, that's coming out of the four corners of the earth now in terms of baseball and players making it to the highest level in Major League Baseball, that is a true testament. Like, one, to Major League Baseball, who's put a lot of effort into game development, but also to, you know, what's going on around the world and the track now for athletes to get to Major League Baseball and play in the U.S. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's gotten a lot better. Look, the more international players we have in Major League Baseball, the better the game gets. You know, the best players from all around the world want to come and play in the majors. And so as we get players from Korea and Japan and all over Latin America and some players from Europe also, and hopefully from Africa soon. Each one of them brings a different aspect, a different style, a different talent set, different skill set. And as all those guys integrate themselves into the game gets better because we start learning from each other. And I think the WBC is hopefully expediting that a little bit because we all now get to see how players play, where they come from, and different parts of the game that are in some ways better than what we do here.
We're talking with Dave Bush, the Red Sox pitching development analyst. Dave, you mentioned it. You had a Major League Baseball career. You started with the Blue Jays. We just missed each other. I had just stepped away from the Blue Jays, and you were coming on board. But you had a chance to play with a number of teams, the Brewers, the Rangers, and the Phillies. And I really enjoy talking to you about your career. And the fact that you say, you know, it wasn't easy for you to play at that level, but you found a way to not just be valuable, but really, really compete up there. And, you know, I think that's a true testament for, and I think a lot of players at the major league level are sort of in the same boat. It's a tough place to be for certain, but if you can figure out a niche and figure out a way to get the job done, there are opportunities there for sure.
There are. The hardest part to understand is that when you get to the big leagues, that the talent gap from best player to worst player is very, very small. Everyone is extremely skilled. You're talking about the top, you know, fraction of a percent of all the players around the world. And so the little things that you're able to do, whether it's your ability to compete or the way you pay attention to your workouts and your nutrition or your ability to use scouting reports and to make adjustments during the game and all those things make a bigger difference the farther up you go because everyone's good. And so one of the things I had to work very hard at was being very proficient in those kind of peripheral aspects of my game, knowing that my physical skills were only going to be so good, but I could make up for some lack of certain things by being really good at the other parts of the game. And that's what I had to do the whole time.
Yeah, pretty smart. Well, let's talk about this. You are on board with the Boston Red Sox, who are my number one team to watch this year, by the way. I'm very, very intrigued by this organization, where you're at right now. But I'm also very intrigued by this position you have, the pitching development analyst. Let's talk about this, because I think it's very, very meaningful, not just for a professional organization like the Boston Red Sox, but I think that this might resonate right down to sort of grassroots development and give us some ideas on what we should be thinking about when we're helping our young players develop in the game.
Yeah, the simplest way I'll put it is that we try to identify the characteristics that are unique to each pitcher, the way he moves, the way his arm works, the way his body works, how flexible he is. We try to identify on a personal level what each guy's good at and then come up with a plan and a pitching style that's appropriate for the way that person moves. Part of the era that I came up through, everyone wanted all the pitchers to throw the same way. And I think we've realized that there's a different way that everybody does it. And so there is no one single set of mechanics or style of pitching, but the best we can identify a unique way for each guy to do it, we think we'll find, you know, his best skills sooner and develop them faster.
Dave, you know, if we look at the game right now, the injuries and the pandemic of Tommy John's and shoulder issues we're seeing at the highest level is very, very concerning across the league. But even more concerning is the number of injuries we're seeing in the developmental levels of the game. And, you know, when we talk with the experts who are researching this, you know, the guys working with Dr. Andrews and with Major League Baseball on the task force, one of the indicators or one of the areas that they're really focusing in on is specialization early on. And this is something I think that's sort of taken the developmental levels by storm. Once developmental sport became a business with the academies, with the training, with the lessons, with the private coaching, I think we really lost sight of maybe the big picture of the multi-sport athlete. What is your thoughts on where we're at in baseball in terms of injury prevention, and what do you think we should be thinking about at the grassroots developmental level?
I definitely encourage kids for as long as possible to play multiple sports, to have an off season, to have a time where their body gets to recharge certain muscles and develop other ones. The game at the big league level is a very athletic game, more so now than it ever has been. Everyone can do multiple things. They can all run, they can all throw, they can all hit. There are no one-dimensional players anymore, and so it's even more important in my mind to develop functional movement playing other sports and to do it for quite a while. The guys who are the best now are the ones who can dunk a basketball and can throw a football and can run and do all these things that aren't necessarily movements we make on the baseball field, but they mimic those movements. And the guys who develop those skills when they're younger are much better off at this level. And they don't get hurt as much. They're not burned out. They just become better players at the higher level when they do that early on.
Yeah, I like it, Dave. And I really like the idea of your position and the way the Red Sox are going here with personalizing and working individual programs. I've often said, right from the onset, I've been a big, big fan of individualizing and attacking individuals. And like you said, though we know there are consistents in the game and in by position, each individual is going to be a little different. So I really like this approach, and I think it's something we need to also think about down at the developmental levels.
I would agree. The sooner we can identify what guys do naturally, the better off the player is going to be and the easier time we're going to have coaching them. For far too long, we've tried to ask guys to do things that their bodies just aren't made to do. And so, one of my goals professionally is to get better at identifying those characteristics early on, so then I can make suggestions and encourage guys to do things that their bodies want to do instead of fighting against their bodies.
Yeah, if we look at the average age of a player breaking into Major League Baseball, not professional baseball, but Major League Baseball, it's right around 23 years of age. So it's a process. And again, there's no sport like baseball. Most of these organizations have 6-7 developmental levels that the players can slowly work their way through until they're hopefully, knock on wood, one day ready to represent their teams at the major league level. So it's a process. And I think sometimes, Dave, people lose sight of that and they want to try to rush that process, which is something that you just can't do.
You can't do it. And baseball is unique largely because it's such a skill-specific sport. There's just really fine motor movements that we make at the big league level that take a long time to develop. And sometimes with pitching, at least, there's a tendency to overvalue velocity, especially at a younger age, because that wins a lot. It's very successful the younger you are. And what happens is guys who are throwing harder and harder now when they're younger, they're overusing that. Yeah, and then they're not developing the ability to pitch. And the farther up you go, the less velocity matters and the more those other things matter. And so I think we're seeing a little bit of trouble with that right now with the advent of all the different throwing programs and arm strength building programs. And they work. Guys throw a lot harder now, but they're not necessarily better pitchers because they're missing the secondary aspects of it.
Ah, strong point. We're talking with Dave Bush, the Red Sox pitching development analyst. Dave, analytics has really, really infiltrated the game of baseball. Everybody knows it. Everybody's seen the movie Moneyballer. They've heard about it. It really started with baseball. Baseball has always been a numbers game. Let me ask you this. In your position right now, how are you finding that balance between the analytics and the numbers, the individual, and then the demands of the physical demands of the sport, which are all, you know, almost islands on their own? But it's interesting to bring those factors together in a big picture. I'm really intrigued by this.
Yeah, that was one of the appeals for me personally in this position was I get to do a little bit of all of that stuff. I have my on-field experience and my coaching experience that helps me on one side. I have my interest in the numbers and the analytics on another side. I have the people skills and I have a psychology background in college that helps me in another area. And this lets me meld all that together. I don't believe there is one way to do it. I don't think we'll ever replace scouts and coaches with numbers alone because there's something about the personal interaction and what we see with our eyes that still tells us a great deal. And so what we would try to do is use the metrics and the analytics to answer some questions, and then we use our eyes and our ears to answer other questions, and then we put that together with a physical component and try to develop the best players we can.
Yeah, interesting. Dave, the analytics now, it seems it's sort of taking a turn. We've sort of gone from the analytics being the end-all, be-all in terms of what a player is and what the player can become. And we're now using it, I think, more to sort of steer and guide us as to where the player may be at right now, where he's come from, and use that to sort of identify or help us steer the direction of where the player is going to go in the future. Is that fair to say?
I think you're right. The analytics that we use now are so much different than 15 years ago when Moneyball came out. Back then, it was really just a secondary level of statistics that were being used for the first time. And by now all that stuff is standard and we've moved on to something that's a little more personal, a little more movement-based, that we're not just taking numbers after the fact and trying to make predictions. We're doing kind of real-time evaluations and making adjustments in a much more, much more daily basis. The old stats, we used to look at them and then you kind of guess what a guy's going to be worth the next year and then you go from there. But the way we do it now is so much more interactive, and that's from the training staff all the way through to the stuff that I do. It's a very personal relationship, very one-on-one, and it's very adaptable.
Yeah, great stuff. We're talking with Dave Bush, the Red Sox pitching development analyst. Dave, The conversation today revolves around the upcoming baseball season. Spring training is coming to a close in professional baseball. The snow is melting in the northern regions, and kids are going to be hitting the ball diamonds and the ballparks by the millions here very, very shortly. One of the trends that we see early in the spring is a massive influx of just sore arms, sore elbows, nothing serious. But I think people need to start thinking about getting ready for the game. There is nothing like the throwing motion in baseball, regardless of what position you play. And getting ready for that throwing motion is critically important. What would be your advice for our parents, our athletes, and our coaches who are listening right now as they start to think about getting ready for their baseball season?
Well, it's critically important to ease into it, especially if you live up north. I mean, I grew up north, and my family's still up there, and so my kids are kind of facing the same thing, where there's a tendency to, you know, to not pick up a ball for so many months, which on one side is great because it lets your arm rest. But then when the injuries happen is when guys, you know, kids pick up a ball and start throwing it hard right away. So the taking your time early on is really important, as is the stretching, the flexibility, and the proper mechanics. Because all those things, although baseball is very unnatural motion, when it's done properly, it is relatively safe and you won't get hurt. But it's critically important that people build their arm strength appropriately and slowly so that they don't get hurt.
Yeah, great stuff, Dave. Well, listen, hey, we appreciate your time today. Congratulations on the new position. And again, the Red Sox are my number one team to watch, so I'm all over you this year, mister. I'm looking forward to it and appreciate your time today. Good luck with the rest of spring training and as the Major League season gets underway.
Hey, thanks so much. Anytime.
There you go. Great conversation with Red Sox pitching development analyst Dave Bush. Listen, the Red Sox, again, are my team to watch this year, my number one team to watch. And not just because of the player acquisitions they've made, which is very important. They've bolstered their roster and they've really, really fortified their minor leagues, but more so because of the programs that are taking place inside the organization. Programs like Dave looking at individual development of their players. I think what's going to come of this is fewer injuries and maybe a more targeted approach to helping players succeed in the game of baseball, which is like no other sport for certain. So fantastic conversation right there. And of course, a lot of food for thought as you get ready for your baseball season. So we have to thank Dave Bush for joining us today in a very, very busy time, less than a week. Well, about a week left in spring training. And once the season hits, it's go time. Baseball has been so great over the last few years. I can't wait for this season to kick off. So thank Dave for that. And we also have to thank Barry Butt, the founder of Premier Strength, for coming on earlier in the show to talk about the hockey offseason. A very important conversation right there if you're a hockey player, talking about what you should be thinking about this offseason and should we be thinking hockey or should we be thinking multiple sports? Interesting conversation when we look at how the philosophy and the approach to athlete development is changing, not just because of the demands of the game, but also because of what we've learned about player development. So just two fantastic conversations this week. Got to thank Barry and Dave for joining us. And I want to give one more big shout out to everybody over at Barber Haw. 111 82nd Ave in Edmonton. They did a house call for my dad over at the Misericordia Hospital. Sean and Mark were kind enough to come over talking sports, did the straight shave, the hot towel, the shaving cream brush. Fantastic. My dad was able to check a box off on his bucket list over at the Misericordia Hospital as he fights the good fight. And I wanted to thank Sean and Mark again and everybody down at Barber Haw for making that happen. Next week on the show, we're going back into the Crush Vault and we're asking a very important question. Is talent overrated? We're joined by Jeff Colvin to talk about his book, and we're going to get to the root of talent development. Is it something we're born with, or is it something that we develop because of the environment, because of the people, the facility, and the experiences we have along the way? A great conversation next week. I want to thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next time on Crush Performance.